pulpit, so this is fantastic. It's good to be here. Wow, what an assembly. Old friends and new friends, and amazing. Do you mind if I take this off? This is not a faith healing, but I really don't need this anymore. I wore it because this brute here hugged me so hard that it hurt my bones. I love you too, brother. I love you too. No, it's good. It's good to be here. And I appreciate, I'm humbled to be in this group with men and women, families that have sacrificed their lives, sacrificed their livelihoods to go out to Poland, to go out to Mexico, to really divest themselves from everything carnal and physical. And man, I'm humbled because, you know, I still have a job and I'm up there in Austin where all the cool people are. And I've got my health. I just got healed. You know, it's wonderful. So, no, but I'm really humbled. I really am. And I appreciate the invitation. Really appreciate the Hickses coming all the way from McDade, did I say that right? County? So they travel quite far to come to our church, so it's a really, really a big blessing to have them. We have a couple students that aren't represented here tonight. They come to our church regularly when school's in session. Of course, we're on the campus now. So we are, it's a, my goodness, I can't even describe how blessed we are to be in a location where we have 60,000 students to minister to, you know. And we have a family that is on fire for Jesus Christ to help us with this work. And I'm humbled. So, enough about us. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to teach you anything that you don't know tonight. I can assure you that. But I'll tell you, Paul is a hero. I mean, bar none. He's super Christian. Because he's just, a lot of people misunderstand Acts chapter 16 because it's the Macedonian call. In fact, I think I probably misunderstood Acts chapter 16 thinking that the Macedonian call was Paul's call. Well, that wasn't his call. That was just one of the many, many manifold things that he did. And, and so when I come to a meeting like this and see the energy and the exploits that have been done from a Brother Billy or a Mike Jackson or a Pemberton. I mean, churches have been established in Mexico and Poland, and there's so much going on. It's just, to me, it's an amazing thing to see that. And when you look at Paul here, he's not without his troubles. And I'm sure these missionaries could tell you stories about their troubles too. And let me just start reading here. Verse 6 says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." I don't know if you know much about the geography related to this particular time, Paul's second missionary voyage. But he's traveling hundreds of miles. And he's going through Asia, which of course is a part of the Roman Empire. It's one of the provinces. It's not Asia. It's Asia Minor. It's Turkey. Yeah. Right? And so he's traveling hundreds of miles. And I think probably the most frustrating thing I could imagine, and probably the reason I became a preacher in Austin, is because I couldn't preach here. And it drove me crazy. I wanted to preach. And God was calling me to preach, and I just wanted to tell people. I wanted to build something.
Amen.
And, you know, God was gracious. I'm glad you didn't let me preach here. It wasn't my place. My place is up in Austin. What are you laughing about? My wife's laughing at me. But you think about this. You travel 800 miles through Asia, and God says no preaching. Wow. Can you imagine him and Silas? Silas was a chief man, the Bible says, and he was a prophet himself also. I mean, just two preachers. And they're traveling. And they got a burden I'm sure they had a burden for Asia. You know, they went back in Acts chapter 19 and they did some preaching in Asia. But not now. You know, I don't understand God's plan all the time, do you?
Amen.
Why He takes somebody and puts them in Poland, and why somebody goes to Mexico, and why they get deported, and then they come back and they're a pastor of a church. You know, I don't understand what God does, why He does that. But He does.
Yeah, He does.
Well, He had something, there was something going on here.
Amen.
Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. My wife was kind enough to tell me what essay, it's a technical, I guess a medical word, it's like an experiment. If you essay, you're doing a test. They essayed to go to Bithynia. You know, from where they were in Mysia, it's about 1,000 miles back. It's 1,000 miles back. They wanted to go there. The Lord said no. Holy Spirit said no. Have you felt this before? Some of you missionaries, have you felt this kind of burden? You wanted to go somewhere, somehow, some way. You know, all the resources were there, but you just couldn't go. I mean, I don't know why God does this, but that's the way He does it. So they essayed to go to Mysia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing through by Mysia, came down to Troas. So that's where Paul gets this tremendous vision, right? From the Macedonian. Seeing Silas. And I guess he's praying, and he sees this man. And this man is saying, I'm over here in this city, Philippi or Macedonian area. I need help. And I can imagine he tells Silas, we need to go. You know, we need to go to Philippi. We need to go to Macedonia. That's where God wants me. And my goodness, how would you know?
Right.
I've heard messages in mission conferences before. To you, how do you know? How do you know whether if you're called or not? You know, a lot of you are probably wondering, am I called? Is this the time? Is this the meeting that I'm supposed to go? I can't answer that question for you. But you know what it says here? It says, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia.
Amen.
Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
Amen.
I want to back up and say this. Paul wasn't just sitting around waiting for a call.
Amen. Right.
He wasn't sitting on his hands or sitting on... And there's nothing wrong with sitting on a pew. Nothing wrong at all. But he was trying to go to Asia.
Right.
And he went all the way to Mysia. And then he wanted to go 1,000 miles back to Bithynia. And he couldn't do it. And now, somehow, some way, God gave him clarity. You may get clarity this week. I'm not sure. I know I had clarity. I mean, God just made it such that we were able to open that church down there, and it was a complete failure. It was. For 2 years, we had zero people. Except for Samuel. Thank you, Samuel. What a blessing, this young man. My goodness, without him, it would be a very tough ride right now. So he's been a blessing. But for 2 years. So he gets this vision. I love verse 11. It says, therefore, loosing from Troas, of course, that's the port city. And it's right there on the Aegean Sea. And I love this. It says, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. Isn't that cool? I mean, he's going, you know, and I kind of think of this two ways, right? Like, we're supposed to have a straight walk, right? I mean, we're walking through the straight gate. We're not supposed to compromise. Well, this is not what it's talking about, of course. But I just thought about that Christians need to live right if they're going to be used by God.
Right.
And he says, I'm going with a straight course.
Amen.
Of course, that just means he's going straight there. He's not taking a detour, which could be a problem with some people like us, right? When God gives us a mission, we know exactly what we're supposed to do, and we take a little detour.
All right.
Let me go home and bury my father, right?
Yes.
And Jesus says, you got to have your hand on the plow and you're not looking back. You're going to take a straight course. So I just think that's really cool. And so he goes from Samothracia, which is a little island, and then he goes to Neapolis, which is a border city to Philippi, where, of course, we know one of the best churches in the, I guess, I don't know if it's in the world, this is probably the best church in the world now, right? Or maybe Austin, but at this time, this is a fantastic church. So he has this problem, of course. He has a little success, which is, God is so good. Handfuls of purpose, right?
Amen.
He gets this. It's the time of prayer, and there's this woman named Lydia, and the Lord has already done something with her. Paul didn't do anything here really, but pray and talk and share the word, and man, God opened her heart. And so Lydia gets saved, and she gets baptized, and she says, "Would you please stay with us, sir?" She constrains them to stay. And I think it's just the way God is. It's not always going to work out for you. It's not always going to be the way you think it is. And I'm humbled here because I'm not teaching you guys anything. You're the pros, right? I'm an amateur. I've only been doing this for a very short time. I've never packed up my bags and gone to Mexico and put myself in the danger of a cartel. But what I'm telling you is, it's not always going to be easy. And so if you're thinking about doing something, don't misunderstand that it's all going to be roses. It's probably not going to be roses. But God will give you some fruit to keep you going. That's what He did right here. And then He meets this other woman. It's not so nice. She's filled with this devil or a spirit of divination. And, of course, Paul and Silas, they're, I guess, faithful street preachers. I'm still convinced that street preaching is the right way to do it. No matter where you're at. I mean, it keeps you humble. It keeps you in front of the people where they're at, right? I mean, they're not all going to come to church. You got to get out there and do something out where they're at. And so I think they're out there street preaching. Brother Randy? Amen? There's a street preacher back there. And this woman just badgering them. At first, it's kind of cool. I mean, I thought, when I first read this 20 years ago, it's like, man, I wish I had somebody saying this when I'm preaching. These men have the great power. They're telling the truth. They're telling you how to get saved. And she, boy, I think, man, when I first started preaching down at the Alamo, people were like, get this guy out of here. I never had anybody like this. But apparently this wasn't good. This was a spirit of a devil or something trying to keep Paul hindered from his work. And so, of course, he turns around and he casts out the devil. Verse 18, this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And of course, you know what happens, right? Because the financial part gets hindered. This woman is a soothsayer. In other words, she tells the future, at least that's what they say she does. She makes money doing that. Well, I guess she gets converted. I'm not sure what happens here, but the devil's not in her anymore. And now they're mad because they don't get their money anymore. And so they put them before this group, and they have a little trial. It's not a fair trial, course, and they throw him in jail. This doesn't seem too easy to me. If I'm in this place, you know what it says? It says they put him in the inner prison, the inner dungeon or the prison, and they put his feet, and I'm not sure what kind of stocks they were, but if you look at some of the encyclopedia type stocks, it's a wooden harness where you stick your feet in it. And they clamp down on your feet, and you're stuck that way. You're sitting there. And they're not letting them go. And I can imagine he and Silas are having this conversation, saying, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Can you, you're Silas, right? Paul, come on. Did you really get a call? You ever been there? I mean, is this real? Did God really want us to come to Philippi so that we could be thrown in jail? Paul, you're crazy. And I don't think he said that. That's probably what I would have said.
Yes.
probably what you would have said. But these guys are desperate. I mean, you know, we read this like, oh, yeah, they're thrown in jail, you know, the inner stocks and all this kind of stuff. And, oh, no big deal. Wait a minute. Get yourself out in the field and find out what it feels like. I've never been there. I'm not speaking from experience, but these men are suffering. They are in prison. They don't have any kind of understanding of what, when or where their salvation is going to come from. They know their salvation is in God. They know Jesus is still real, but I bet you they have a conversation saying something like this: Paul, are you crazy? You got us into this mess again. Do you imagine?
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, I wish I could come to some of these morning meetings. I bet you tell stories like that. Like, are you kidding me? We're going to what city? I'm sure you've had that conversation, haven't you? Takes a bit of faith.
Yes, it does.
To be in a bad situation. You're in pain. You have no hope to get out. You're desperate. You're lonely. You're away from your family. You don't have any financial means. You don't have any political prowess. You can't call the governor. There's no ambassador you can call to say, get me out of prison. There's no cell phones.
Right.
Let me just be English incorrect. There ain't nothing here to help these guys. They're stuck. That's where some people in the ministry get. They're stuck, but they're in the best place they could be stuck in.
Amen.
Because there's a God. There's
Amen.
Still a God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is real.
Amen.
Somehow in this conversation, they're going back and forth, maybe complaining a little, maybe praying a little, anguish, tears, reminiscence, whatever. Somebody breaks out in song.
Amen.
Yeah. They didn't have Amazing Grace. You know, that's, you know, before its time. Amazing. I mean, they're singing. Probably singing one of the Psalms.
Amen.
Maybe they're singing Lamentations. I don't know.
Amen.
But they're singing.
Amen.
But I don't think they have any understanding. Okay, hey, let's sing so God can give us an earthquake. No, they're not doing that. But they start to sing.
Amen.
Let me tell you something about singing.
Amen.
You go back to the Old Testament, Jehoshaphat. You know how he won the battle, Brother Billy? He pointed a bunch of singers. All they did is sing.
Amen.
The battle was the Lord's.
Amen.
It wasn't. They didn't have any swords or there wasn't any battering rams. It was just singing.
That's right.
Hey, singing's powerful.
Amen.
I'm not saying singing's a weapon. I'm not saying that, hey, if you're in trouble, all you got to do is sing. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But it takes faith to praise God when you're low.
Amen.
It takes a lot of faith. And that's what they did. They sang.
Amen.
And God began to move that. They started feeling the vibration. There was a vibration in those bars. And the shackles, I don't know how the shackles came off, but somehow there was some kind of breaking and some kind of crushing and things just started changing around them. And Paul and Silas are sitting there and they don't have any understanding. Can you imagine this? I mean, they didn't call down fire from heaven. They had no idea.
Right.
I don't think they knew that there was power there available for them. Just like that boy back over in 2 Kings chapter 6, and Elijah says, Lord, he's got an eye problem. He's got eyesight. There's some vision issues here. Can you open his eyes and let him check out what you've got going? And God opened his eyes and he looked around. He's got chariots of fire round about Elijah. And that's what we got tonight with
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Things started shaking up. The bars started opening up. People started to run. There's a prison, a guard, who's in big trouble at this point.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he's going to die. Because if you let your prisoner go back in this day, you die.
Yes, sir.
And it's at midnight. Most unlikely time in the world for something, for God to do a miracle. But he does a miracle. And he gets these guys out of jail. The Philippian jailer is going to kill himself. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. We're here. And this guy comes down in probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. What must I do to be saved?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. That's why I'm a pastor.
Amen.
You know what I want to hear? What must I do to be
Amen.
Saved? I don't hear it very often.
Amen.
I mean, I hear it more when I'm making phone calls or my wife's got friends across the country and they're like, what must I do to be saved? I'm like, why don't you come to Austin and say that?
Yeah.
You know? We don't get many people in Austin saying, what must I do to be saved? How about you? That's what I'm living for.
Amen.
That's the reward.
Yeah.
Hey, you want a resolution?
Yeah, amen.
You want something to look forward to in the ministry? This is it right here.
Amen.
It's not going to happen when everything's going well for you, necessarily. My. But God has got a great, interesting plan. He's got a... I couldn't write a book to showcase how God's going to live out your life for you, or what He's going to do with you, or how your ministry is going to unfold, whether you're going to just be wildly successful, or whether you're going to be in a prison, or whether you're going to have, you know, you're going to be a pastor, or you're going to be a missionary. I don't know about you. But here's what I do know. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Amen.
I know that for sure. You know what that means for you? What God gives you as a ministry, He doesn't take back, no matter what the circumstances are.
Amen.
It's without repentance.
Amen.
You get a gift when you get saved. You're called when you get saved. There's a ministry God gives you when you get saved. And He doesn't take it back.
Amen.
You just got to use it or you lose it.
Amen.
Well, I just want to praise the Lord.
Amen.
That I've got something to do for the rest of my life. I got the best job in the world.
All right.
I'm not talking about my day job. I'm talking about my night job. My all-day job.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what God has asked me to do? He's asked me to build a little church.
Amen.
He's asked me to be a pastor. He's asked me to go out and try to win some souls.
That's right.
And I'm humbled because, my goodness, I'm in the midst of people who could teach me more than I could ever absorb in my lifetime. So I just want to encourage you that there's something for you.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not Brother Paul, but you might be Silas.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, Silas was a chief man. He was a good man. Anybody in this room who's saved is a good man because you're a God man. God is inside of you.
Amen.
And there might be something God wants to do with you.
Thank you, Lord. Right.
So I would ask you to consider your life and consider the decision that you have to make. If there's a decision that God is probing you with this week. I haven't been here, but I've heard it's been fantastic. So, Brother Paul is such a hero because I can follow him as he follows Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.